Hello, this is Matt Slick from the Matt Slick Live podcast, where I defend the Christian faith and lay out our foundations of the truth of God's Word. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
TNG Radio, where today's culture and timeless truths come together.
It's reasoned, relevant content, apologetics, worldview, and answers to the questions that you need to know.
You need to know.
From Alex McFarland Ministries, this is Truth for a New Generation Radio. And now the man who preached in 50 states in 50 days, speaker, writer, and advocate for Christian apologetics, Dr. Alex McFarland.
Now that we're in the month of August, I think about the last part of July. I think about this every year, actually. Do you know what happened on July 30th, 1956? Well, July 30th, 1956, the 84th Congress of the United States and then President Eisenhower signed into law what became called our national motto. Do you know what that is? Our national motto? In God We Trust, adopted July 30, 1956. Hi, Alex McFarland here, and welcome to another edition of Truth for a New Generation. I appreciate you listening. And as we begin this program, I'm so excited. Believe me, I am so excited because just this week, I wrapped up the writing and the recording of my new book, The Assault on America, What We Must Do to Save Our Country. And you know, if you listen to the program, I don't spend a lot of time promoting books or product on the show. We try to bring content, and we want to bring content on this program today. But I will tell you, after writing the book for Harrison House Publishers, and it comes out, the sign-up page is on Amazon right now already, but the book will ship in 2 or 3 weeks. And then I've been at the American Family Studios in Tupelo this week recording the audiobook and been in the studio for 5-6 hours a day recording. And I read the book that we've just written over the last really month and a half. For one thing, I was bowing my head and praying and thanking God for the ability to write this. And it's God's truth, not mine. It's God's content. But I feel there is such an urgency that we pray for national revival and that we live up to that motto, in God we trust, because I would say we have not been trusting in God as a nation. And we've witnessed this year, of course, the pandemic has dominated the news, but the riots, the lawlessness, the anarchy, and the continual drift away, not only a drift away from Jesus, but I mean a drift away, an abandonment of just a moral foundation. Imagine an island in the middle of the sea, and let's call that island morality. And it's solid and it's stable. But if you swim out far beyond the sight of land, and you're away from your foundation, your oasis of safety, your sanctuary, if you have cut yourself loose from the island and you've swum away from any reach, you're lost at sea. And that's really kind of where we are as a nation. And what's unique about this time in world history, with the worldwide push to legalize and legitimize abortion on demand, and the worldwide push to mainstream homosexual behavior, to redefine marriage, and now the worldwide push to make transgenderism an ethnicity. Now think about this. And again, I believe in civil rights for all people, but what the founders had in view are what they called natural rights, not artificial rights, not manufactured rights, but natural rights. And natural rights are what are applicable to all people at all times and all places. And so we are lost at sea because the moral foundation that has been the basis of 6,000 years of human history, 2,000 years specifically of Western civilization, and 242 years of American culture, American government, American laws, and our stable, prosperous, free society, were all on this foundation. We've jumped in the waters of relativism, swam hard into the deep end of hedonism and lawlessness. And friend, we must recover our moral foundation, My heart is heavy this week as I read of more and more cities slashing the funding for police, or maybe calling for the abolition of their police departments altogether. Are we on a death wish, on a suicide mission? It's insane. As I write this book, and again, I would urge you, I would almost beg you to read this book. I'm not making one penny off of this book. This is not about Alex getting royalties. I make zero royalties. I could show you the contract. I did not write this book for money. This book is, I think, a very reasoned, very well-documented, historically substantiated call for what we were and how quickly we will continue to dissipate and unravel as a nation if we don't recover morals and truth. And it is imperative, imperative that you as a citizen, whether or not you're a believer, that you take to heart these things, because really the next election and our decision about belief in morality will determine whether we live in the America we once took for granted, or whether we live in a Wild West, poverty-stricken, developing nation like the third world countries where I go to preach sometimes. James Madison, he said, "If men were angels, no government would be necessary. If men were to govern men, we would have the great difficulty of doing that. But if angels governed men, neither external nor internal controls would be necessary." In other words, if we had heaven on earth, we would not need moral boundaries, ethical boundaries. But Madison said, "A dependence on the people is no doubt the primary control of government." In other words, consent of the governed. "But experience has taught mankind the necessity of not only lawful boundaries, but of a moral code to follow." He understood what so many today don't seem to understand, that humanity has a sin problem. We're fallen sinners. And the type of check and balance system that the founders wisely envisioned, I believe they were led by God, would best help avoid the extremes of a harsh monarchy or moral anarchy. And see, those are our two options. The harsh monarchy would be described as the iron fist of socialism or the iron sword of Sharia. A moral anarchy is what we're seeing. And listen, if you want what we've witnessed in Portland, Minneapolis, Chicago, New York City, if you want that for your town and city, then vote in leaders that don't believe in God, moral truth, right and wrong, or ethics. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the things that we must do to save our country, and may God grant that we're able to see it happen. Don't go away. We're back after this.
As we take a break, let me tell you about 3-10s, three books that'll answer questions that come your way from others or even yourself about the Christian faith. Book number 1, 10 Answers for Skeptics. Today's skeptics are looking for authenticity, integrity, and straightforward faith. And in this book, you'll learn how to answer intimidating questions, identify the root issue behind those questions, and dismantle the spiritual bombshells dropped by non-believers. Those usually end up just being a puff of smoke. Number 2, 10 Answers for Atheists, where Alex looks at the philosophical assumptions at the root of atheism and agnosticism, exposing logical, historical, and conceptual fallacies. Alex shares clear explanations of beliefs and biblical answers to those questions that often leave you stumped, but no more. And number 3, the 10 most common objections to Christianity and how to answer them. You know, many Christians hear these objections and have a crisis of faith. But Alex visited many places and talked with many people through the years and can offer straight answers that'll give you confidence and understanding about your beliefs. So, the 3-10s once again, 10 Answers for Skeptics, 10 Answers for Atheists, and the 10 Most Common Objections to Christianity and How to Answer Them. Find them wherever Christian books are sold or at alexmcfarland.com.
At Liberty University, you'll earn more than a degree. you'll earn the satisfaction of seeing what you can accomplish and what God can accomplish through you. Choose from more than 600 degree options, from an associate to a PhD, and study 100% online more affordably than you think. Discover God's truth through every degree at Liberty University, where we train champions for Christ. Go to liberty.edu/explore to learn more. That's liberty.edu/explore to learn more.
Timeless truths in a soundbite culture. Truth for a new generation radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. You know, I get asked sometimes, you know, Alex, you're an evangelist, you preach the gospel, you're an apologist, and you do defense of the faith, and you equip people to defend the Christian faith, God, the Bible, Jesus, and we do. But people say, Alex, you speak about government and politics, and I do, education. And people ask me, they'll say, hey, why do you do that? Because isn't our home in heaven? It is. You know, Augustine, who I reference a lot, he's a thinker that you need to know about, and he wasn't the only one who said this, but Augustine said in City of God that the Christian lives in two worlds, and we know that our home is in heaven. But until we're in heaven, as long as we are in this world, as long as we are in the land of the living, we have an obligation to the city of man. We really do. And that's why it is imperative, folks, whoever you are, you need to be informed, you need to pray, and you need to be registered to vote, and you need to vote. It's estimated that in the last election of the 100 million adult professed Christians, less than half were registered to vote, and of those, maybe only half of those did vote. So we're talking about, among evangelicals, maybe only 25% of eligible adult Americans with a biblical worldview actually voted. So folks, if you love God and country, you need to understand that your vote is a stewardship issue. It really, really is. And you must be informed and you must vote. Well, I get a lot of mail. And I recently got a letter that is part of the Biden platform, if the Biden-Harris ticket is to win. And this was an internal document about what their plan is. Now, this is not what they're saying in their ads. But part of what they want to do, if they are elected, and you vote your conscience, you prayerfully vote what you feel is right. But for one thing, they want 10 to 15 million illegals to be given citizenship. It's a broad-sweeping, almost no-rules amnesty program. Instantly, not only citizenship and benefits and health care and college tuition, but 10, 12, 15 million instantly given voter rights without having gone through the naturalization process, the citizenship rigors that everybody else has to go for. One of the things, and this will happen in 2021 if Biden becomes president, before 2021 is out, 12 to 15 million current illegals will be given full citizenship. And so that is something we really need to think about. But then there are other things, open borders, empowerment of Palestinians, and that would really undermine the security of Israel. Bad politically, bad for national security, definitely bad economically. But let me reference an article that was in the Wall Street Journal just a few months ago. A man in the Wall Street Journal named Michael Bleckman wrote an article titled, quote, "Liberalism Isn't What It Used to Be." And I've got this in my book, The Assault on America, that's coming out September 1st. But Bleckman was a staffer for Robert F. Kennedy, himself a lifelong Democrat, not a conservative, not a Christian, as far as I know. But he writes at how the Democratic Party positions adamantly insisted upon today would be largely unknown to the, quote, liberals of previous generations. Now, in recent months, words or actions that would trigger apocalyptic levels of outrage had a conservative said these things or done these things, when they were portrayed by Democrats/liberals of previous generations, they were not, you know, looked at askance at all. But today, they would be causes for the woke left to be outraged. Now, RFK campaign leader Michael Bleckman said this, quote, "Core beliefs that made me a liberal in 1968 put me at odds with many of the things progressives stand for today. Progressives today are running roughshod over much of what liberalism once stood for." Now, he goes on to speak about the selective tolerance of the left, the militant identity politics that favor certain groups with preferential treatment based on ideological fitness with the progressives' utopian vision. Conversely, Democrats publicly demonize and treat with contempt other Americans, even to the point of profiling by race or sex, simply because they might disagree with the progressive vision of the left today. And what Bleckman says, and it's really true, you know who really couldn't be a Democrat today? LBJ, who said we were founded as a Christian nation, regardless of what you think about Lyndon B. Johnson. LBJ did say we were founded as a Christian nation. And after the tragic shooting of John F. Kennedy, you know, LBJ said that he was praying for the nation, called everybody to pray for the nation, go to church. RFK, Robert F. Kennedy, JFK couldn't really be a Democrat today. Certainly FDR couldn't be. Why? Because, look, I'm not saying they were perfect, but for all of their foibles, warts and all, they believed in God. They believed in objective morality, what Jefferson and the founders called natural law, self-evident truth, objective truth, moral absolutes, what Alexander Hamilton in the Federalist Papers called social justice, not what you hear today, but in the Federalist, sometimes called the Federalist Papers. They believed we could only have a socially just culture if we believed in morals and acknowledged the source of morality, that is God. Now, folks, we're adrift at sea. And I think our vice president was right in June of 2019 when he said the next election would not be so much between two different candidates, but between two vastly different futures. I'm urging you to read my new book, The Assault on America. Go online, go on Amazon, please pre-order it, or you can reach out to us, alex@alexmcfarland.com. So stay tuned. We're going to come back. Truth for a New Generation will resume. And I want to talk about why the state of the country reflects so much on our state spiritually. We're back after this.
America today is like a patient struggling to live, yet is being forcibly euthanized by her, quote, doctors. The life force within the patient fighting for survival is the honest citizens like yourself. The team of, quote, caregivers are the local and national leaders actually contributing to the demise of the patient. The economy is crashing. Crime is exploding. The Constitution is being abolished. The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late by Alex McFarland has one single purpose, to get you prepared. Learn the real source of America's current problems that no one else is talking about, and what you can do now to face tomorrow, regardless of what tomorrow brings. The Assault on America, How to Defend Our Nation Before It's Too Late, available September 15th. Book pre-orders available now at Amazon.com.
Christians don't necessarily agree with one another when it comes to questions of religious pluralism, homosexuality, the role of government, abortion, and war. Too often we manage these disagreements by ignoring them. Yet we're called to engage the world for the sake of Christ. How can we be effective if we avoid society's most pressing questions. In 10 Issues That Divide Christians, Alex McFarland challenges us to drill down to the biblical core of 10 current issues, such as social justice, evil and suffering, pornography, and environmentalism, as he echoes the biblical invitation, "Come, let us reason together." Only by engaging the scriptures deeply, thinking clearly, and speaking truthfully can we in God's family address our differences and discover the peace that comes with unity of purpose. 10 Issues That Divide Christians. Find this book and many others at alexmcfarland.com. In the midst of a culture obsessed with relativism, Alex McFarland is a voice you can trust to speak the timeless truths of Christianity in a timely way. You're listening to Truth for a New Generation Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. You're listening to Truth for a New Generation. I do want to resume our conversation about why the state of the country is connected to our state spiritually. But some people have been asking me, okay, Alex, what are you doing in this time of quarantine and COVID when you can't travel as incessantly as you've done for the last 23 years? Well, it is true, our travel has greatly curtailed since the quarantine, but we are doing several things online for now 3 months. We've done 3 webcasts a week. I'm on the Facebook page. It's Rev Alex McFarland. That's R-E-V. Rev Alex McFarland on Facebook. 3 times a week, 11 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, we're live on Facebook. And I talk about an apologetics topic, worldview, we answer questions, we give away a book. We are also, we've resumed the Truth for New Generation television program, which is seen on the NRB television network, and it's on Roku, and you can go to, if you Google NRB TV, you'll find us. And I look forward to that show being on in your area. We just had Erwin Lutzer on as a guest last week. I'll be recording Monday, August 17, with Eric Metaxas. We have a lot planned for the television show. And then, of course, daily, Monday through Friday, on Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio Network. And you can go on the AFR website and find the station near you or listen online. We have corresponded with thousands and thousands of people. We're getting 50 to 75, sometimes 100 emails a day from people with spiritual questions and spiritual longings. So I do value your prayers. We love to hear from you. And the website is alexmcfarland.com. I do want to say that I will be in West Virginia, Christ Community Church in Augusta, West Virginia, September 12, 13, and 14. Looking forward to being there, and we have several other speaking engagements in the fall. And then finally, in terms of ministry, in my hometown of Greensboro, North Carolina, Good Shepherd Church, involved with Good Shepherd Church there, and you can watch on their Facebook page, Good Shepherd Church of Greensboro. So we're online, we're on air 7 days a week. But back to the state of our country. Friend, I want to talk about why elections still matter, because they really, really do. And we're a nation now, friend, it's do or die. Either we're going to decide that there are morals, there is a rule of law, or we are further going to digress into lawlessness. That's why you need to ask yourself, do I care enough about the future of the country to vote? And do I understand, ask yourself, which candidates are going to stand for the Constitution as written, which speaks to our religious freedom, our ability to defend ourselves, your Second Amendment rights. You know, which candidate is going to support lawfulness, the rule of law, marriage, family, the church? And then here's the question, we could spend many shows talking about this. Who best will appoint Supreme Court justices that will reflect what America is all about? So elections matter, and I want to give you a few reasons why elections matter. Elections matter because there's this philosophy, and Aristotle, the Greek thinker, talked about it. The perfect is the enemy of the good. There are a lot of people who say, I'm not going to vote because I don't like either candidate. I had 2 people last week that wrote and told me that. I don't like either candidate, so I'm not going to vote. Well, look, Aristotle warned about the perfect being the enemy of the good. Look, excellence is worth aspiring to, but perfectionism, that's impossible. So in my world, I wish, you know, Billy Graham and James Dobson, Mother Teresa, and, you know, great people like that were on the ticket, but they're not. There are not perfect candidates. In fact, there's only one perfect individual, the Lord Jesus Christ, but there are good, and there's a good, and there's a better, and there's a worse, and there's a bad. So don't sit this one out because the perfect is the enemy of the good. God can use any presidential candidate for his purpose. All candidates are flawed, but will we allow these flaws, which we all have, to make us cast a protest vote or no vote at all? Secondly, you need to ask yourself, will my life be better or worse under this or that president? You know what? In the election in 2016, they asked people, is my life better or worse over the last 10 years? And remember, we had had 8 years under President Obama. And do you know what? Of the people that responded, 96% said in 2016 they felt worse about their life over the last 10 years. Ask yourself, will this president protect my religious freedom? Ask yourself, will this president protect life, which is the fundamental right delineated in the Declaration of Independence, the right to life? Ask yourself, will this candidate protect our country, border security, internationally, a strong military, a strong domestic presence, police to keep our country safe? Ask yourself about the Supreme Court. Ask yourself, will this elected official protect the financial resources with which God has entrusted us? Or will this person waste money through pork barrel entitlement programs and confiscatory taxes to redistribute wealth in a Marxist vision? Ask yourself, will I feel good about the decisions this political leader will make? Ask yourself, should the Lord tarry, will I be glad that I voted this way 10 years from now? And most importantly, folks, ask yourself, will I carefully consider my vote in prayer? We've got houses of Congress, we've got local elections, we've got judges, we've got everything from Main Street to D.C., from your house to the White House to think about. And I would encourage you to pray for our country, to be informed, to be involved, to be an influencer. Yes, this matters. Our primary calling, if you're part of the church, is to know Christ and to make him known. But our founders knew it. We need to rediscover it. That part of our Christian duty and privilege, really, is to seek a nation that is godly. And one of the ways we can do that is to be informed and vote. I truly believe my book, The Assault on America, will help you do that. Please pray for me as I'm on the road preaching. And please stay informed. And however we can help you stay equipped and stay strong and stand strong, reach out to us. We want to help you do that. And I reiterate our national motto again, in closing, in God we trust.
TNG Radio is made possible by the Friends of Alex McFarland Ministries, P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. That's P.O. Box 10231, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. Call us at 877-YES-GOD-1. That's 877-YES-GOD and the number 1. Or give online at alexmcfarland.com. While you're there, listen to program archives, read Alex's blog, invite Alex to speak at your event, or contact Alex with a question or comment. alexmcfarland.com. Thanks for listening today, and join us again next time as we bring you more truth for a new generation on TNG Radio.
This is the Truth Network.